Well, like every other lesson and series that we've done, this one is at www.lifegatechurch.com. It will be there this afternoon, hopefully, along with all these series and things that we've done over the years. Anything that you would probably want to study in God's Word is at www.lifegatechurch.com. And if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church, and you'll find us there. You'll like us. I know you will. So that'll be good. All right, today, there are things in our lives that power our lives. Now, these things do not only empower us, but they steer us. They direct our lives as to what we do and to where we go. With these things in our lives, great things can happen. Without these things in our lives, it's like nothing happens. We live basically wasted lives. But with them, and an understanding of them, and a development of them, we can do anything. We can do monumental things. With these things understood and with these things developed, there is nothing you can't do. You can do everything. Now, one thing that these things will do in our lives is they change. God brings these things across our path so that we will get a direction in our lives. Now, for example, when I was young, I had a horse. My mom and dad got me a horse, and the horse's name was Morning Dew, and Morning Dew and I grew up together. And I kept Morning Dew until we had our first child, and then I had to sell my horse so we could pay for my child. We didn't have insurance. We were just a young couple. And Judy had to sell her 56 Chevy. Now that, you know, she had the four barrels. She won't let me forget it. It had four barrels. So we could pay for our child. I don't know what they would have done with him if we couldn't have paid. But my point here is that we enjoy those kinds of things. And so we got some ponies. Now, one of these ponies was a mare, and the mare pony had foals, and they were twins. And there were also some wild dogs in the area, and they attacked one of the foals, nearly killing it. I called the veterinarian came. And I watched this veterinarian nurse this little colt, this little animal. Nurse his wounds and injected a shot into it. And just a little while, he was back up walking around again. And there, too, he was running around like nothing had ever happened. And I thought, how marvelous. And that made such an impression on me that I wanted to be a veterinarian. That was my goal. I was going to be a veterinarian because I could take something that was that sick and that attacked, and I could help it and bring it back to life. Now, I don't know how long the desire to be a veterinarian lasted. It didn't last a real, real long time. But I remember the impression that made on me. And you see, what's going to happen in all of our lives, and has happened and will happen, is God will bring people along in your life that will motivate you to do something. To take your life to a place that where you can do something that's meaningful. And with these things understood, with these things developed in our lives, we can do very, very meaningful things throughout life. Now, you're going to have those things. You've already had them. And they left an impression inside of you as well. What I want to talk about today is the power of a dream. The power of dreaming until your dream comes true. Now, when I say dream, I'm not talking about, you know, like when we had chili for supper and we ate too much and then we go to sleep and we see all these strange visions. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm not diminishing either the influence that dreams have. They have meaning in them. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a goal in life, is your dream goal in life. And when I say goal in life, what I'm saying is something that is bigger than you are right now. And then maybe when you accomplish this, there's something else that's still bigger than you are. And it's bigger than you. And it's something that you think about every day. Something that motivates you. It's something that's in front of you. You know, like it's the proverbial carrot in front of the horse's carriage, you know, and he's always walking to get it. It's in front of you always, but it's not that carrot thing. It's something that you know inside of you that you can do. You can really do this thing with just a couple of tweaks, with a break here, a break there, that you're going to be able to acquire this dream. It's something that we all have that helps us to get out of bed every morning. It's something in our life that causes us to move forward in life constantly. It gives us a passion in life. It gives us enthusiasm in life. Everybody needs a dream goal. What is yours? What is it that's in front of you right now that you want to see happen in your life? What is it? Maybe your dream goal is to be a better mom or to be a stay-at-home mom. Maybe it's to be a better dad or to be a better provider for your family. Maybe your dream is to have a better marriage. Maybe your dream is to either go back to school or to complete school and get the degree that's going to help you and prepare you to fulfill the dreams that you have. Maybe your dream is to begin your own business. Maybe your dream is to break a habit that's held you back or to get free from an addiction that's held you back for years and years and years. Maybe your dream is to acquire some finances, to acquire some money so that you can buy and purchase your dream home, your dream automobile, your dream retirement. Maybe your dream is to get that promotion that you've been wanting for so long, to raise you to a new level of living where you can enjoy your life even more. But you should have a dream. What is your dream? What is it that's before you? But what I find in Christians and with nearly everyone is that they've lost their dreams. That their dreams have gotten pushed down inside of them. And there's all of this stuff, you see, that's going on in their lives. And so many things cause us to get our dreams pushed down and stop our dreams. Things go on in life. Maybe you have a child that's causing you tremendous problems. And it's got you misfocused now. You were focused on your dream and what you needed to be focused on, but now you have to focus on the situation with this child. Or maybe you have heartbreaks in life that have stopped your dreams, that's cluttered up your dreams, that's pushed down your dreams. Maybe you have an illness in your life that's stopped you, and now you can't focus on the dream because now your dream has become to get well. Maybe you've lost a loved one to an illness. Now, why even dream? Why dream when there's nobody to share your dream with? Maybe the economy's got you. You got laid off. Maybe you got fired, had to take a cut. Maybe that's what's going on in your life. Maybe there's a financial problem happening. You know, how can you dream with the economy like it is? Or maybe how can you dream when you're so far behind on your bills, maybe even facing bankruptcy? How can you dream? These things push our dreams down. Maybe you've gone through a divorce and you feel like a used rag. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. Maybe in your particular life, you've made a big mistake, a huge mistake, and you're not even sure God's forgiven you. How in the world can people? See, there's so many things that push down our dreams. And you say, but we can't let them lay dormant. We can't let them just lay there. If you do, then you're just going to live a mediocre life, a life of mediocrity. You're never going to fulfill all the potential that God has put inside of you to do what God wants you to do in your life and to live your dream and experience the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Maybe you've waved the white flag. I give up. I'd say that real fast. But maybe you've waved it. You know, I say, I give up. But here's what I want to say today. Maybe you've given up, but God hasn't given up. Maybe you've given up on you, but God hasn't given up on you. See, there is something still there. So what do we need to do? How can we revitalize the dream, the goal? How can we have our dream goal and have it fulfilled? Well, one thing that the scriptures talk about is stirring it up. There was a young pastor, his name is Timothy, in the scriptures, and his dream was to have a successful church, have a functioning great church. That was his dream. But he was young, and he had people problems, and people were telling him he was too young to be a pastor. He wasn't experienced enough to do the job, and he had some leadership problems going on, and some bickering women in the church was causing some problems. And on top of all of those pastoral situations that he was having to deal with, he had some stomach ailments. He had some stomach problems that he was suffering with as well. So his dream had gotten pushed down in all of that stuff, just like you and I. But the apostle said, Timothy, we got to get it fixed. And here's what we need to do. So I want to show you the scripture. It's in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6. reading this from the King James Version, just like how it says something that's different from the NIV, and I'll read that in just a second as well. It says, chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up." And that's the main thing that I'm going to capitalize, but he says, "Stir up the gift of God." Now, lots of times we don't see a dream as a gift of God, but it is. See, every ability that God's deposited inside of you, every gift that God has deposited inside of you is so that your dream can come true. Your dream in life pleases God. I'm going to show you this. Your dream in life is what brings you rewards from God. You're living it out. And every gift, every ability that God has deposited inside of you is so your dream can come true. Now I want to read that to you from the NIV Bible. Same verse. He says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame." Now, in the first one, and we read from the King James Version, you know how you grill something and those coals will be, they'll look like they're out. But if you stir them up a little bit, you'll see that those coals aren't dead. They're alive in there. And they're still glowing. There's those embers. And so what he's saying here is fan those coals. Fan that into flame again. Get that going again. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, gifts are deposited by the laying on of hands through prophecy. They are stirred up inside of us by the laying on of hands, by the prophecies and things that we can receive. But that's not my point. What my point is letting you know that your dream is not dead. The embers are still there. God wants you to stir it up. God wants you to fan it into flame again so that your dream can come true. And you see, there's always these things that are going on in our lives. There's always these things that want to stop our dreams. We're always going to have a giant, a Goliath, giants. We're always going to have a Potiphar's wife who's going to lie about us and talk about us. But see, those things, God did not allow those things to come into your life to stop your dream. What those things are is when you understand it and you develop it, what those things are there for is to thrust you into your dream. See, David was just a shepherd boy until he faced Goliath. By overcoming Goliath, he was thrust into the position to become king. Potiphar's wife, yeah, she lied about Joseph. And the reason I'm mentioning them, I'm going to talk about Joseph next time and his dream. But she lied about Joseph. But she put him in a place that he had to be in prison. She put him in a place so that he would meet the one person who could bring him into his dream. See, those things are not there to stop your dream when you understand those things. And they're there to put you into your dream. You're going through the process of your dream. And we all go through processes going to the place that God has for us to go to. Every single one of us. I remember a time I was thinking about this. I was between jobs and I thought I should start a pet store. Now I know you can't hardly imagine, you know, but I was going to start a pet store, but it really wasn't a pet store. I had a few critters in there, but the main thing that I had was a tropical fish store. That's what I had a passion. I loved aquariums and I was good at them and I knew all these fish and I could do this stuff, you know, and saltwater tanks. And I mean, I was pretty good at this stuff. But what I learned pretty quickly, after about a year or two, I learned, you know what, I'm not going to make a lot of money selling tropical fish. No. And I'm not really providing for my family. So after a little while, I shut it down, went out of business, and I went back to doing what I was doing prior to that. But it was a process. You see, I learned so much in that process. I learned things then that I'm using today. You will learn things through the process that you go through. What seems to be failure wasn't a failure. You only fail if you quit. But you keep going and you utilize those things that you learn through the process to take you to your dream. God didn't put those things there to stop you. He put those things there to propel you, to force you to go into this direction and to go here so that you can intercept and experience your dream. Now, don't be 85 years old and think back and say, what if I'd have tried it? What would have happened had I done it? You know, what would have happened had I went with it? You know, don't do that to yourself. Take the step. See, that's the main thing. I got to take a step with my little pet shop. I got to take a step and do something that I wanted to do. But you know what I've found out? That so many people have so much pride, it won't let them go out there. They're afraid they're going to fail. You know, they allow their pride to stop them from experiencing their dream. Don't do that. Don't allow your pride to stop you. So how do you stir up a dream? How do you fan into flame the dream that you once had that's been pushed down now by all of these situations in life? Well, I want to give you three thoughts. And the first thought is you got to start talking about it again. We just did the series on the power of your words. See, your words are powerful. And your words are not only power, but in your words are life. And you need to start talking about your dream again. Now, I want to read this to you. It's in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, the tongue, or your words, the tongue has the power of life and death, but it has the power of life. And those who love it. Now, this part I really want you to get a hold of. Those who love this principle, those who understand that your words have power and that your words have life, those who love it, those who cherish this, those who love this, they will eat the fruit of it. See, when you understand how powerful your words are, and you start talking about your dreams again, and you start putting power into your dream, you start putting life into your dream, you're going to eat the fruit of it. Now, you got to be cautious as to who you share your dreams with. With whom you share your dreams. Let me say it correctly. So you got to be cautious with this. Because, you know, you Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so, you tell them about your dream, and they're going to cause you to turn around and walk away from your dream. They're going to have you so discouraged. You know, Jesus said it this way, don't cast your pearls before swine. What's he talking about? Don't throw your cherished pearls. Don't throw your cherished dreams before people who are going to put them through the mud and going to drag them and trample on them and make them mucky and cause you to walk away from your dreams. So, yeah, talk about your dreams. But you talk about it with people who are going to encourage you to help your dream come true. That's number one. What's the second one? The second thing that we all need to do in having our dreams and stirring our dreams and fanning our dreams is to pray. Now, oh yeah, Delbert, of course you would say pray. You're a preacher. That's what you tell people to do, is pray. Well, yeah, I do, but this is a different prayer than just, you know, most of the prayers that we pray is we just like blowing up a balloon and releasing it into the atmosphere. It kind of goes wherever it wants to go, wherever the wind's blowing, and then we call that prayer. That's not prayer. What prayer is focused. What prayer is a prayer that you focus at a specific point and a specific time. You're going to focus this prayer on your dream. Now, here's what Jesus said. It's in Mark 11:23. Now, that's a very popular passage of Scripture for if you're a charismatic type of a person or if you're a person of faith, then you've heard this passage before. It's always amazing to me every time I take a look at it, see something else. Mark 11:23 through 24 says this. Jesus is talking. He says, I tell you the truth. Now, you always know, I always make a comment with this. It always amazes me that Jesus has to tell us that he's telling us the truth. You know, but I want to make an emphasis here. See, he's emphasizing this is the truth. This works. This is what you need to know about prayer. He says, I tell you the truth, if Christians says what? Is this a universal truth? Is he telling us the truth here? I tell you the truth, if anyone, listen, this is a universal principle. It will work for anyone. Not just Christians, but for anyone. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his mind, heart. Listen, you're not convincing your mind, you're convincing your heart. So how do you not doubt in your heart, Delbert? Well, you not doubt in your heart because you see it in your heart. Well, the way you drive doubt out of you is by seeing it the way you want it to be. By believing it. You won't believe it until you really see it in your heart. So you got to believe it in your heart. That's how you're going to run the doubt out. He believes in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen. He thinks what happens or says. You got to say it. You got to see it. You got to say it. This is a focused prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus talks about will work. This is the truth. And you got to see it happening in your heart. You got to drive the doubt out, and you got to say it, and say it, and say it until your heart sees it, and it becomes a reality and substance. Now, he says what will happen. It will be done for him. It will be done. And then he says this amazing statement. Therefore, because of that, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, now watch. Believe that you will have it. Believe that you have it. You have already received it. Believe you have received it. And what does it say? And it will be yours. Whoa. We see it in our hearts. It drives the doubt out. We say it with our mouth. We keep doing it. We keep seeing it. We keep saying it until it becomes reality, until it becomes a substance within us. What is your heart? Your heart's not your mind. Your heart is the deepest part of you. Your heart is your soul area. Your heart is your subconscious area. And when you can get into there, you will have it. You will have it. Let's put this into an example. Maybe you're suffering with an illness. So your dream is to get well. You know, and so what you do is you begin driving the doubt out that you're going to get well. By seeing yourself healed. By seeing yourself doing the things that you would do if you were healed. Playing with the grandkids. Playing golf. Going fishing. Whatever it is that you would be doing with if you were healed. Running and going to the gym. Do whatever it is. See yourself doing that. And begin saying it. Saying, I'm healed. You know, now again, you got to be careful who you say these things around. But because they'll think you're crazy, and then they'll start thinking you're crazy. So you got to be cautious with this stuff. But this is what Jesus says is going to work for you. And to the point that you really believe it. Now, did he lie to us? He made sure we knew he was telling us the truth. So you see yourself and you start saying, and then you begin to be healed. It will be yours. I love it. I love it. So number one is you got to speak words that are powerful and life-giving into your dream. Number two, you got to pray, but pray pointed prayers, not just release words into the atmosphere. Number three, third thing that you've got to do is step out in faith. Listen, there comes a time when you got to stop talking about it. There comes a time when you got to stop praying about it. And there comes a time when you see either sink or swim. You got to step out and do it. Now, you don't do dumb stuff. You don't quit your job. You don't just throw your hands up and say, oh, okay, I'm done with it. I'm walking out of here. You take this job and shove it. No. That's not what you do. You know, you got to have a plan. You got to have a way that it's going to work through, and God will give it to you. Don't do something dumb. But there has to come a time in your life where you say, okay, sink or swim, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I am not going to get 85 years old and look back at my life and say, what if I had done it? I'm going for it now. And you got to take that step, and you got to go for it right now. Now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. Not Hall of Fame, but it's called the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And what the writer of Hebrews does there is he lists all these people. He goes all the way back to Abel. And he starts listing all of those people. He starts with Abel, Enoch, Noah. He goes on Abraham, how Abraham stepped out. And he goes with Sarah. Sarah, and he goes on through with all the judges, Samson, and you know, and all these guys, and goes on to David, and he names all of these people. And the thing is, what he's wanting us to see is they stepped out in faith. Every single one of them. They went after what they felt their dream was. They went after what they felt God had deposited inside of them to accomplish in their lives. They stepped out into faith. And even like Moses, we've looked at him. Moses didn't want to, but he did. So sometimes, you know, you get to that place where, you know, maybe you don't want to do this, but, you know, if you're ever going to do it, you got to do it now. And so it is a sink or a swim time. But that entire chapter begins with, of course, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, this is a confusing kind of a passage, but since I've said to you what I've already said from Mark 11, 23 and 24, maybe it'll make a little more sense to us now. So let's read that. I'm reading from the King James Version because this is the translation that you usually hear quoted. Hebrews 11, 1 says this, "Now faith is the substance, the reality." Faith is what you see, what you smell, what you can touch, what you can experience. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your hope has become so real, you can taste it, you can smell it, you can experience it. And the evidence, the proof, the reality, the evidence of things not seen. You can't really see it, but you see it. When you step out into faith, you're stepping out on those words that you have spoken. Those words that have brought life. Those words of power. When you step out into faith, you're stepping out on the prayer. But not just the words you released into the sky, but the prayer that you prayed where you drove doubt out of your heart. Where you believed it to the point that you believed you had already received it. When you step out into faith, It's one of those things that you have this confidence. And you know that God's with you and that you're stepping out into that. And I want you to hear me now. This is what pleases God. This is what pleases God. I read you verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Going down just a little bit further in that same chapter to verse 6. And then right after verse 6, he starts naming off all these characters, Abel, Enoch, Noah, and all of these people. He starts going down through there, listing it after he says this. But verse 6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible," without stepping out in faith, "it is impossible to please God." Because, here's why. "Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists," but here's the rest, and that what? "He rewards who?" "Those who diligently seek him." How do you diligently seek God? Yes, this is seeking God, praising, prayer, all those things. But the way you really diligently seek God is by stepping out in faith. And pursuing what God has given you to do. The talents and the gifts, the anointings that you have inside of you. That's where you're diligently seeking God. And you got to believe He will reward you. God will reward you if you step out into faith. Now, so you got to see. And if anybody should see this, this church should see this. We've just finished up the series that we called Smile, Staying Positive, Win. And we know that God, so in the series was about when negative things are happening, you can't be negative. Because God won't bless you if you're negative. So we know that we don't move God. God doesn't move because we become negative. Because we become critical. Because we become condemning. That doesn't move God. That doesn't please God. God is not moved when we get angry with people and we say mean, hurtful, harmful things about them. That doesn't move God. It doesn't move God when you're negative about life and all that comes out of your mouth is negative stuff. That doesn't move God. It doesn't move God when you're not thankful. If you're not thankful, that's not moving God. What will move God is when you speak faith-filled words. What will move God is when you speak powerful words, not only into your dream, but into the dreams of others. What will move God is when your prayer and you're pointing that prayer and you're believing in your heart and you've driven the doubt out and you're moving into your dream. What pleases God is when you step out and you do what you're called to do. That's what pleases God. Okay, so you got a child that's causing you all kinds of problems. Well, what do you do? What do you do? Well, you don't go negative. You don't go negative with it. See the child doing what the child was born to do. Seeing the child fulfilling God's destiny for them. See the child doing what in obedience, walking in obedience, drug free, free from all the things that children get into today. See that child. Begin saying that about the child. And then you'll begin to experience that with the child. Now you can get back into your focus, into your dream. The heartaches that you've had, the illnesses, see them not as heartaches, but see them turned into blessings. The illness that you have, as we've already talked about, see yourself healed, doing things that you would do if you were healed. I know you lost a loved one. It's devastating when we lose a loved one. It's like takes everything out of our dream. Why even dream? But I want you to know God's got more for you. God's not done with you. You've waved the white flag, but God hasn't. There's more for you. Yeah, the economy's bad. Your finances are bad. But God is good all the time. See yourself financially secure. Begin to see yourself prospering and being in good health, even as your soul or your heart prospers. When you begin to see it in your soul, it's going to happen. You will have it, Jesus says. It will be yours. Begin to see these things coming around. The occupation is bad. Yes, it was bad. Occupation is bad. You don't get along with your boss. You don't know if you're going to even have a job tomorrow. So see yourself getting that promotion that you want. See yourself changing your attitudes about it. See yourself prospering there. Yeah, you went through a divorce. Devastating. Devastating. But you're not a rat. God's got somebody else for you. God's got a love for you. Hey, God's got somebody that's going to love you. He's got somebody that you will love. You don't want to, He's not going to leave you alone. It's not good for man to be alone. He's going to make sure that we, our lives are good. Yeah, you made a mistake. It was a big one. It was a big one. I want to tell you, God has forgiven you. And it really doesn't matter if people forgive you, because people don't determine your destiny. God determines your destiny. Yeah. Yeah. We allow these things to stop us. And God says, no, no, no. Step out there. Do it, do it, do it. Okay. Now, I want to tell you this story, and then we're done. In the book of Numbers, and we talked about it a few weeks back. We talked about the children of Israel, and they had come to the Jordan River, and there they were, about 2 million people, and God had given all 2 million of them a dream, and the dream was the promised land. They were going to go into the promised land. That was their dream. And you know the story? Moses sends in 12 spies. Well, two of those spies are named Joshua and his friend Caleb. I'm not talking about Galen's children. We're talking about talking about these Bible guys, okay? Joshua and Caleb. Now they go in and they come back and they give their report. And it's a good report. So let me read that to you. It's in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb still the people before Moses. Why? What is that there? What did he have to still them for? Because they were in an uproar. He had to still the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the bad part is that the other 10 had already given an opposite report. They came back and they brought grapes and they brought all of this fruit and all of these amazing vegetables and things that they brought back with them, and they said, "Man, it truly is. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. But there's giants there." Listen, in your dream, it's a wonderful place, but there's giants there. There's giants in your dream. And so what they did is they brought this negative report, and they got the people all stirred up. I'm going to read you their report in 13:32. It says that, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they explored. So you got to be cautious as to who you share your dream with, who you listen to, who you talk with. Because what they're going to do is turn you away from your dream, and you're going to walk away from your dream. They had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes." And this is the verse we talked about not long ago. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we looked the same to them." See how people see you, how you see yourself. But what they had done is they had convinced all the people. And they had convinced Moses to turn around and walk away. Here's the thing. They were less than 100 feet from their dream. I did a research. It was the Jordan River is not that wide. Less than 100 feet from their dream. How many times have you, I, people, got so close to our dream? But because of people, negative people, because of a few giants, we turn around and we walk away. Never experiencing our dream. Dying in the wilderness. Now, what do you think this did to Caleb? Certainly it discouraged him. Certainly, you know, he had to feel and see. It seemed like maybe his dreams had shattered. But they were just pushed down. They were just pushed down inside of him. Now, God told Moses to tell the people, and this is what God said. God said, none of that generation is going in. The only ones in that generation that are going in is Joshua and Caleb. And the people that are 20 years old and younger, they'll go in. But the rest of them, their carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. I was processing this, you know. And they wandered around there for 40 years, waiting for those people to die. I was thinking about it. I was thinking, they kept their dream alive. Joshua and Caleb, it lived within them. They kept it stirred up all those years. But I was thinking they were probably doing a head count. You know, every... you know, they would have a list of all those, and they would mark them off, you know, or they would do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, and 5's gone, 10's gone, you know, and they were counting them up. And so we get to a few left. Maybe we've got 20 more here. and so I could just see Caleb going to Joshua and say, "Hey, man, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long." And they started talking about the dream. And they started putting faith-filled, powerful words into it. They started making it alive again. They began seeing themselves when they had been there, how it looked and how they experienced. They began to see that dream again. And they were stirring that thing up. They were flaming that dream back into fire. And they were ready. Finally, the last one goes. They did the funeral. Cloud makes a U-turn. They come right back to that river, 100 feet away again. Moses says, "I ain't sending 12 this time. Sent two. Sent two in." They did invade the land, and they conquered it. Now, they didn't drive out all the giants. They didn't drive out all the people there. But they conquered it. They took control of it. And here's what happened. Now, Joshua is in charge. They kept their dream alive, stirring it and flaming it. Now, after they had done it, Caleb comes back to Joshua. He says, "I want to tell you something. Give me my mountain. Give me my dream." I'm going to read it to you in just a second. But here's the thing. He's 45 years later. Caleb is 85 years old. It's never too late to live your dream. It's never too late to drive out the giants. So he comes back to Caleb, to Joshua, and he says, "Give me my mountain." Let me read it to you. Numbers, I'm reading this from the King James Version, just like how it says it in 14:12. Joshua 14:12, not Numbers. Joshua 14:12. It says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this dream. Wherefore the Lord spake it that day." And I've got you the passage that you can read for yourself. But I don't want to take the time to go through it. It might drag us down a little bit. But I want to tell you what's there. Here's what Caleb came to Joshua and he says, "You remember when we went in, and you remember what we saw, and you remember that we thought we should go right in and take it. But my brothers," is what he says, "but my brothers struck fear into the hearts of the people. And we had to turn around and leave it. But you heard Moses tell me." You heard my Lord Moses, he's referencing. "You heard him tell me, 'Caleb, when you come back in, that's your dream. That's your inheritance. That's what you're going to get.'" Caleb says this. 45 years later, we come back. But he says, "I'm 85 years old. He says, but I can see just as well as I could see then. I have just as much strength today as I had then. I have just as much passion today as I had then. I know there are giants on my mountain, but I'll take care of them. I'll drive them out. Give me my mountain. Give me my dream. See, that's what a dream will do for you. What a dream will do for you is keep your vision going. What a dream will do is keep you vibrant. What a dream will do for you is keep your passion going forth. What a dream will do for you is keep you young. He said, give me my mountain. I know there's giants on it, but I'm willing to fight for my dream. Now, you have to think about this. See, there would have been smaller mountains, smaller places, places without giants. It would have been lots easier for Caleb. He probably could have selected anything he wanted. He didn't want to settle for less. He had a dream. He wanted what his dream was, what his mountain was. See, Jesus says, you can speak to the mountain, and it's going to obey you. What's your mountain? What is your dream? What happened is Joshua gave Caleb his dream. He did drive the giants out. He lived his dream. What's God promised you? What is your dream? Is your dream to have a long life? Ought to be. Is your dream to have financial security? Ought to be. Is your dream to get that promotion, live a higher level of living, higher level of life? It should be. Dreams continue to progress. Is your dream to have a great marriage? Have great children? Should be. Is your dream to have a successful business? Is it? See, maybe there's been a time in your life when you got real close. But because of people and because of some giants, you turned around and you walked away from your dream. And you've lived a life of mediocrity. Now, that's okay. But is that where you really want to stay? See, it's been rough for you. You've gone through some tough times. Nobody's going to blame you for staying right there. But is that what you want? That's not what God wants. And that's not how you'll please God. What God wants you to do is stir it up. What God wants you to do is fan it back into flames. What God wants you to do is speak some powerful, living words into your dream. Fire it back up again. Understand the principle of it. Eat the fruit of it. Be careful who you talk to, though. Don't cast your pearls before swine. What God wants you to do is pray about it. But not just a prayer that's sent off into the atmosphere that doesn't accomplish anything. Do a focused prayer. Do a prayer that you drive doubt out of your heart. Do a prayer where you begin to say it. Say it and say it and see it and see it. In your heart, until you actually believe it, until it's like you have it, you've already received it. And Jesus says, it'll be yours. What God wants you to do is step out. Step out into your dream. Give it a try. Give it a shot. See what God will do for you. See how He will reward you. Step out. Enter your promised land. Face your giants. But I'm telling you, you can live your dream. And what I end up saying today is, dream until your dreams come true. Let's pray.